Welcome to Slice of Life. Because a bite was not enough, you've listened to Brenda's Bites for years, and now Brenda is expanding her show to include lifestyle happenings from around the region. Now here's your host, Brenda Alacy.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Slice of Life. As always, we appreciate you carving out some time on your Sunday morning for the only lifestyle show in Buffalo Radio, and you never know who's going to be on this show. It's always fun for me to bring in guests of every ilk from all walks of life and all the people who make Western New York, you know, such a fun place to live and such a place filled with people who are experts in many, many areas of the community, whether it's medical, real estate, legal, pharmacies, entertainment, sports, you name it. And what's more associated with Buffalo than wings, for that matter? We might think of some other things, but I like thinking about food. And with me, and it's hard to believe it's been a year already, we have the Wing King himself in the house, Drew Cerza. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Brenda. It's great to be back, and I can't believe it is a year.
I know how fast it goes. And the Wing Fest is coming up. You know, this has become such a tradition, Drew, 17 years in the making. We talk about it's been a year since you've been here, but is it hard for you to believe also that it's been 17 years that you've been overseeing the Wing Fest?
It's pretty weird. It really is when you think about it. And there's just so many, when you look back, there's so many different moments of different festivals that are just classic situations, you know, and it's grown. It's grown well. It's matured as a festival. And, you know, it's been great for the city of Buffalo.
Oh,
you know,
no question.
And chicken wings have grown. I mean, they've really grown through this. So
some of them are pretty big, aren't they?
Yeah. And we're growing too. So,
are you a flats or drumstick kind of guy?
I'm more toward the flat. I'm equal opportunity, but I'm more toward the flat.
I think it's easier to get at.
Yeah, and they're more fun, more different ways to eat them.
Yeah, that's true too. You were going to say if there were two sitting there,
I'd go for the flat.
Yeah,
I'd give you the drumstick.
Depends who reaches out
quickly
enough.
I'd let you choose first, though, Brenda. Yeah.
Ladies first. Yeah. I always knew Drew Cerza was a gentleman, not just a wing king. So for folks who may not be aware of the National Buffalo Wing Festival, which is the official name, it's at Coca-Cola Field on Labor Day weekend, of course, which is Saturday, September 1st, and also Sunday the 2nd, 2 days of winging it in Western New York. Both dates, both festivities kick off at noon. The Saturday festivity goes till 9 p.m., and then Sunday is from noon to 7 p.m., and information can be found at buffalowing.com. Now, over the years, Drew, you've brought in many, many different types of wing restaurants. How many do you have coming to this edition of Wing Fest?
You know, we've got about 20 different wing restaurants coming in. A lot of them are from out of town, from all over the country, from Portland, Oregon, to, you know, down around the Pennsylvania areas, to Rhode Island, New Mexico, and Mexico itself, the country.
Wow.
Really great restaurant out called Wing's Army, and a new place from London, England.
So, oh, my gosh.
It's really becoming more of an international flair now as well.
Now, how did these folks in Mexico and in Europe find out about this?
You know, they came to the festival. Like, you know, the beauty of the internet and the Food Network and Travel Channel, it's worldwide. So when people see the show and they're in the business, say, I'll come to the festival just to check it out. And, you know, they'll meet me and they'll ask and they'll email and they'll send information. And I feel like if they've really done a great job and they've helped expand Wings outside into their, you know, geography, why not invite them? So we try to invite one a year.
It's great. Now, do you have any restrictions in terms of the types of wings they have to have, or do they put on their own spin? It doesn't matter what.
No, we encourage different types of wings. I think that's the beauty of it. Everybody brings their own regionality to the festival, but they also bring traditional wings as well. There's a lot of restaurants that come in from out of town that are former Buffalonians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they couldn't get good wings and open up their own places. So I think that's what makes it fun. It's not just, you know, traditional wings. It's a little bit of everything.
And as we've talked on this show in the past, Drew, having traveled quite a bit, you know, in Europe and other parts of the country, in the Caribbean, you see the term Buffalo Wings everywhere. It doesn't matter if you're 3,000 miles from home or 10 miles from home. Isn't it amazing how this food has just taken root and really reflected back on Buffalo in a good way?
Oh, without a doubt. And it's funny because you see the word buffalo in a food. Buffalo is now a flavor.
Yes.
Our city's a flavor.
Exactly.
You know, it looks good, tastes great. But it's, and I don't get sensitive when people call chicken wings buffalo wings outside. I think that's good branding for Buffalo.
Me too.
But I do have a problem when it's like a different kind of crazy wing and a restaurant calls them buffalo wings, or they're terrible wings, they call them buffalo wings. Just call them chicken wings.
Right, right.
You know,
that's
or call them wings like we call them here. But, you know, it's great branding for our city, without a doubt.
It is indeed. There was quite a bit of controversy recently about blue cheese versus ranch as the official, you know, sauce or dip of that. Now, what's your feeling? I assume you're a traditionalist. And
it's without a doubt. It's, you know, it's funny. It's like in the Northeast, especially Buffalo, it's all blue cheese. But you go down south or out west, it's ranch. So, nationally, you know, it's ranch, you know, as far as, you know, percentage-wise. But, you know, in Buffalo, we're very sensitive about our blue cheese.
No doubt about it. Yeah. I just can't imagine dipping it in ranch. It doesn't make any sense to me. Drew, well, you're going to be at the Wing Fest, obviously, and it's been 17 years.
I'm thinking
years.
About showing
you
up.
You think you might pop over there around noon at both days? Now, are you going to be walking around with the big wing hat on and the cape?
No, I'm a working wing cane. I got stuff to do, but... you know, it's usually pretty warm. We've been fortunate to have some great weather, but I'll throw the hat and the cape on once in a while.
Nice.
But it's fun meeting these people from all over the country that come in. I think that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
There's people that just are such foodies, and Wayne's is such a foodie food.
It is indeed,
And it's just a pleasure meeting everybody, and people get a chance to experience our great city. They don't just come to the Wing Fest. They experience other parts of our city as well, so... It's a great tourism opportunity for us.
That's what I love about it, too. And over the 17 years, it's been like night and day, frankly, the way the city has evolved, particularly the downtown area, Canal Side, the waterfront, all the new buildings down there, the hotels. It seems like even as often as I get downtown, every time I go down, I'm marveling at something new that I didn't see seemingly last week. It's so exciting as a native Buffalonian to see our city's evolution and renaissance like this. And I think that a lot of that stemmed from you coming up with this Wing Fest idea. It was a great kind of impetus for people to view, you know, that downtown area as a center for food and fun.
Yeah, I think there's so many people who have done some great things downtown. I look at... look what the Pakula's done. I look at Rocco Termini. I mean, there's a guy who stepped up, and he was the first guy putting apartments and townhouses downtown. You know, an event like the Wing Festival, Canal Side. And now look what Labatt's doing. I think it just seems like there's little sporadic hits, you know, and I think cumulatively it's really transformed our city. I remember years ago people would be telling their kids, you got to go to high school, go to college, get the heck out of here. There's nothing here for you. Those are the same people begging their kids to come back to raise their families. So, you know, economically, I think we're doing better. I think psychologically we're doing really well.
Much better.
And I think that will transform into the economic end of it.
Did you happen to see that article that was in the United Kingdom? It was in, I think, one of the London papers. But there was a travel writer from the UK who came to Buffalo and just wrote an absolutely fantastic article about the charms and events and attributes of this city.
Yeah, you know, that was a great article and a great hit. And New York Times did a piece.
Right.
There's so many different writers. And I look at, God rest his soul, Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, yes.
When he came here, he had the most beautiful saying for Buffalo. He said it's a wonderfully weird city.
Yeah. But
you know,
that was a compliment.
That was a great compliment.
Yeah.
And it was, we are different and we're proud of it. And, you know, I had a deep conversation with somebody on Sunday and it got a little heated because that person said, I'm from a big city and Buffalo's got to do this. They got to have a huge convention center. They got to have this and that. I said, wait a minute. We're doing really well. And we're a great city. Be careful what you wish for. There's nothing wrong with where we are. Let's just make it better where we are.
Yes.
You know, we don't need to get bigger. You know, we just need to get better. And I think we are. I think quality of life has improved immensely.
Me too.
You know, and I think it's about quality of life. And I think we've really come a long way. And these writers that come in from out of town, they're just blown away. They just can't believe what they see.
And what you say about the psychological effect is true. I don't feel like there's that sort of collective sense of an inferiority contest. Complex anymore.
No,
it feels like people have much better morale and a viewpoint about their city, including me. I'm proud to say where I'm from. I was out in Portland, Oregon last month, and I was happy to say I'm from Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of the city.
I was complaining about not enough snow last year because I let go in Elkville. You know, it's like...
Well, you wouldn't catch me saying that.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's... I don't think we're as sensitive as we used to be.
No.
And the Bills made the playoffs.
Well,
so we got that
too.
Monkey off the back.
Exactly.
But I think you're right.
Over.
We used to be very sensitive. Now it's like, okay... Don't come. There's more for us.
Funny you should mention about the Bills, too, because 17 years since the Wingfest first flew into town, and that's how long the drought was. So,
wow.
Hey, you know.
Wait, did we start the drought?
I wonder.
Did Maybe we it was start your the drought? Fault. Oh, no.
It was a foul drought, no
oh,
doubt
boy.
About it.
A foul drought.
thanks for getting my joke. You know, every year you try to put a different spin on the Wingfest, Drew, and of course we know it's Labor Day weekend, September 1st and 2nd. But this year you actually wanted to be a bachelor party destination. What's that all about?
Well, you know, we got some great exposure on the show called The Bachelorette back a couple months ago because one of the four finalists, Jason Tardick, was from Buffalo. So in the last four, there's a hometown visit, and we were able to, you know, perform a wing-eating contest at the Anchor Bar, gave us great exposure. And then about a month later, I saw online this article. I can't remember the online publication, but they ranked Buffalo as one of the four most underrated bachelor party destinations.
Wow.
So I took those two pieces, and I said, you know what? Why don't we make the Wing Fest the ultimate bachelor
nice.
Party? You got wings, you got beer, and after that, you go down to Chippewa, you got Allen Street, the Elmwood Strip. This is a great bachelor party destination.
No doubt.
And I think the real party is at the Wingfest. That's what we're trying to create.
Now, if I see some guy running around with your cape on, I'm going to know the party got out of hand here.
Yeah, yeah, that would be one of the things you'd know.
Oh, I think that's a great idea, Drew. So a bachelor party destination, you've got 20 wing restaurants. From as far away as Mexico and London, England, for that matter.
Yep.
And then there are eight other restaurants as well, non-wing, correct?
Right, right. We've got Folletta's comes with an assortment of desserts and, you know, little Italian dishes. We've got Bocce Pizza, which is always a favorite. Danny's Soup, chicken wing soup. Krashiki's Bakery is going to do pierogies this year for the first time. And they also bring some desserts. We've got your, you know, Pop and Bob popcorn. We've got ice cream, but... You know, the focus, and we got the crunch rolls, of course. You can't forget the crunch rolls, which is a huge seller at the Wing Fest. But, you know, there's other foods besides wings, but wings are really the major focus. There's over 100 different styles of chicken wings.
Unbelievable.
So. And this year we added a little adventure in the back of the in the entertainment area. We have a mechanical chicken wing. So it's like a mechanical bull, but it's a chicken wing drumstick.
Do you try to ride it
you
or
ride
play it?
It
or?
It's just like riding a mechanical bull. And it's inside of this big inflatable pool, and it's fun. We had it there a couple of years ago, so it'll be a lot of fun. We've got the Ninja Warrior course is going to be set up, so there's stuff for the kids for you know, just wildness fun. We've got Joey Chestnut back in the, you know, United States Chicken Winning Championship.
Nice.
We bob for wings in a kiddie pool full of blue cheese.
Not ranch, right?
Not ranch. Not ranch. So
and Miss Buffalo?
Miss Buffalo Wing Pageant.
Will she be bobbing for
contest?
Wings? Or?
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
That should be one of the
See,
criteria. Yeah. I'll talk to Susie McKay. She organizes that one. So
I don't know if Susie would go along with that. It might not be
hell.
Part of the charm school, but all of this information can be found at buffalowing.com.
Yep.
Easy enough. Drew, kudos to you. A tip of the wing hat to you for all the help that you've given to your city, to our city, and the exposure that you've brought here in such a fun and wonderful way, and it's involved people from all over the place. I really salute you for what you do year in and year out.
Thanks, Brenda. I appreciate the time that you give us. And, you know, the festival also helps out some great causes. We've raised over $350,000 over the years for organizations like Alzheimer's Association of Western New York, Meals on Wheels of Western New York, and the Food Bank of Western New York.
Wow.
So,
yeah, it's important.
You know, it's everybody's giving back. You know,
a charitable component. And again, to me, that's another reflection of the city of good neighbors.
That's what we're all about.
Yes, sir. And
yep.
You're at the top of the heap. Drew Cerza, the Wing King. Thanks again, Drew.
Thanks, Brenda.
Back right after this.
You open a door, you walk down the stairs, you stand in a cluttered, dirty dungeon. The worst part? You're in your own home. You say,
basement.
You contact First Buffalo Total Basement Finishing. You schedule a free estimate. You meet with a design specialist. You see a 3D model of your new basement and get an estimate that day. You say,
nice.
You see your basement transform. You have a beautifully finished maintenance-free space built with specially designed materials specifically engineered for basements. It will last as long as your home, and it all costs less than an addition. You say,
very nice.
You found First Buffalo Total Basement Finishing, the largest contractor in the world. They financed your project. You saved $1,500. Now you open a door. You walk down the stairs, and you stand in a finished
home gym,
man cave,
playroom,
in-law apartment.
And you say,
beautiful.
First Buffalo Total Basement Finishing. From
basement
to
beautiful.
Go to firstbuffalodiscount.com right now.
When your life changes, your legal needs change as well.
Greg, Brad, and Brian Stamm from the Stamm Law Firm.
The birth of a child or grandchild, the gain or loss of income, the passing of a relative, divorce, a milestone birthday, or even a job change. Maybe you purchase property in another state.
Whatever the situation, changes in your life bring about changes in your legal needs.
We're announcing the Stamm Plan, a comprehensive review of your estate plan, your legal documents, your power of attorney, your health care proxy, your will, and any other legal matter to make sure your documents are up to date, organized, and accurate.
We will look at everything, update your beneficiaries, review your digital assets, and talk about the property that you or an elderly parent owns, especially if that property is out of state.
Stay up to date. Call and ask about the Stamm Plan, a comprehensive review of your life issues and legal needs. The Stamm Plan, from the firm that brought you the Stamm Basic 3. Call 631-5767 or stammlaw.com.
That's how our family helps protect your family, your finances, and your legacy.
Doctor, award-winning chief medical correspondent, and Salon Pos user, Dr. Bob Arnott.
For pain relief, the best solution may surprise you. I found that Salon Pos Lidocaine Plus works best for my pain. It's powerful, available without a prescription, and uses two anesthetics to numb nerves right where it hurts. It starts to work on contact, providing effective, lasting pain relief I can count on.
Salon Pos, in the silver box with the blue wave.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. Cars are one of the biggest sources of pollution. Reduce your impact and improve your mileage by removing any heavy items, like golf clubs, from your trunk. Also, keep your tires inflated to the proper pressure. Try walking or biking for shorter trips and combine all your weekly errands into a single trip. Not only will you be helping the environment, but you'll spend less at the pump, too. It all starts with one thing. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Thanks for tuning in to Slice of Life. Now back to your hostess with the mostest, Brenda Alacy.
And welcome back to this edition of Slice of Life on this Sunday. As always, our thanks to the K Car, Kevin Carr, pushing all the buttons for us, making sure we drive down the road the right way. Couldn't do the show without Kevin Carr week in and week out. Well, it's a pleasure to introduce somebody new to the show. Allie Sponger is here, and Allie has a pretty impressive title. She's the director and curator of the Niagara Falls Underground Railroad Heritage Center in Niagara Falls, New York. Allie, good morning.
Good morning.
I've read about your museum, which is pretty new, and it's located at 825 Depot Avenue West in Niagara Falls on the U.S. side. For folks who may have heard about the Underground Railroad Center, but aren't quite sure what it is, how would you describe it to people?
So the Niagara Falls Underground Railroad Heritage Center is an experiential museum with immersive exhibitions that tell the stories of the Underground Railroad, specifically in Niagara Falls, a border city between slavery in the United States and freedom in Canada. And our focus is on the African-American freedom seekers and hotel waiters who provided assistance during the time of the Underground Railroad.
What an interesting story. So that became a hub of sorts. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely.
And what would happen, for example, when you would walk into the center and you kind of go back in time and see what happened? Did those folks that you mentioned hide people who were escaping on the Underground Railroad? What was their role in trying to protect or hide these folks?
Well, actually, the role of the Underground Railroad in Niagara Falls was slightly different than the traditional narrative or what we normally hear about the Underground Railroad. Being very close to Canada, one more river to cross to get to freedom, it was a very unique community in how the community was working together in that, and things were really out in the open. So the hotel waiters that worked at the Cataract House Hotel and many other hotels were all African American, and many of them had been born enslaved in the South prior to working at the hotels, but they found employment, they found a community here, and they were able to do their work, generally speaking, out in the open.
And so they actually contributed to society in ways that we probably can't even imagine, right? I mean, they worked, they participated in society, they helped people. It's really a human interest story in many ways. When you do your work as director and curator, Do you find that you find these artifacts and other pieces that really have that human element? It must touch your heart every time you look at this.
Yes, absolutely. It's what really drew me in when I first started on this project a couple years ago. And we were kind of finishing up the research phase, and we moved into designing the Heritage Center itself. And we had to take those stories and create basically a way for the public to interact and learn those stories. And what I find the most amazing part of the Underground Railroad stories is the individuals who had courage day in and day out, the freedom seekers that they walked, they took trains, they had to hide along the way, these incredible journeys that I feel like today it's very difficult for us to imagine,
right,
just to get to freedom right outside our doors where we exist today.
And think about it too, Ellie, with the weather here. I'm sure it wasn't mm-hmm. always a piece of cake. You know, it could have been quite cold or windy or blustery or difficult to travel around this area depending upon the seasons.
Yes, and freedom seekers, you know, they were trying to escape from slavery in the South. They
right.
could have come as far as the Deep South. Weather's a little different. Hmm. But, I would imagine thinking, what by any means possible, you're trying to get to freedom. And a story of Nancy Berry, one of the freedom seekers who came through the Cataract House Hotel and was helped by the waiters, she actually crossed in winter. And her narrative that she had wrote to her sister later in her life describes crossing through the ice.
Oh, my gosh. It had to be just horrific for her, I would imagine. Now, these stories have been largely untold, right? This is something new that people are able to appreciate and see. Because I would think the historical records were a covert operation, if you will.
Yes, absolutely. So the Underground Railroad itself, by nature, was very secretive because, there was the dangers of being caught, being killed, being dragged back into slavery. And that was a dangerous thing that was, across the United States, regardless of whether there were, slavery existed in that state or not. So the dangers were very real.
I would imagine so. And it's the other thing, too, that people can go in and is it mostly reading stories, seeing things? When you walk into the museum, how would you describe what the artifacts are like?
So most of our museum is actually interpretive. So we have these really awesome and very cool projections. They're fine art illustrations throughout the museum, contemporary pieces that illustrate some of the stories that we had text or documents to, but nothing that really engaged visitors in a different, engaging way. So these projections are moving and they help tell the stories. We do have some of the some artifacts throughout, but it's really an immersive experience, and also including scenic build-outs of the Cataract House, Suspension Bridge, and others.
That's fantastic. It sounds like such a fascinating place to visit. You've only been open for a few months. How has the response been, Allie?
The response has been really great. We've been very busy this summer season. We opened on May 4th of this year. We had 4 days of celebrations. Everything had sold out for us, which was really exciting. Huge participation from the community. And we've had over 6,000 visitors so far in just this short period of time. And the feedback from visitors has been really great. Everyone's really excited to visit and have really deep conversations with us when they do visit.
I imagine you get folks of every age, too. Do you have kids to grandparents, that kind of deal? Is it appropriate for everybody?
Absolutely. We get school groups. We had school groups in May just after we opened. They were ready. They were coming. And then we've had family reunions all summer. We've had senior groups. We've had summer camp kids. So it really does range in age.
It's so great, too, to know that you're doing something significant for the community as well, because this is the first new attraction to open in the falls in more than 30 years. So that's saying something.
Yes, definitely. Niagara Falls is on the rise. There's a lot of really great things going on, events taking place in the downtown districts, revitalization, and we're really excited to be a part of that.
You must feel like you're part of the key resurgence, too. I mean, there's been this incredible renaissance in Buffalo. And I often mention on the show, I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime. I'm so proud of my city. I'm a native, and it makes me so proud to see what's happening all over Western New York, but particularly in Buffalo. And you wonder, will some of that spill over into the falls? Do you feel like there's good momentum happening in the Cataract City?
Yeah, I definitely think so. There's a difference in size between Buffalo and Niagara,
sure.
But we're so close. And I think that taking some of the inspiration from Buffalo and its resurgence, and Niagara Falls is doing it in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really exciting. We're focusing very much on our community, our local community, community participation, which I think, by doing that, being a local advocate for our own cultural assets and what we have in our own city will go, you know, miles and a long way for visitors as well.
And it brings people of every ilk in, right? Every sort of ethnic background, socioeconomic status. And I like the fact that you're doing now daily freedom conversation tours. How does that work?
So we just started that program. So we invite everybody to come down. Right now we're doing two tours a day, 11:30 and 2 o'clock, Tuesday through Friday. We'll probably increase that or change it up just depending on how the first couple months in the program goes. But basically the Freedom Conversations are a facilitated dialogue tour experience. One of our visitor experience specialists at the museum will lead this tour, and they'll be engaging in conversations with the visitors throughout the whole museum as they take them through. And it won't be your typical, you know, the visitor or a visitor experience specialist, also known as a tour guide in this case, will be just talking to the visitors. They want to hear feedback from the visitors as well and talk about some bigger issues related to freedom.
We're talking with Allie Sponger. Allie is the director and curator of the Niagara Falls Underground Railroad Heritage Center. And what are the hours of the center here, Allie?
The hours at the Heritage Center are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Those days are 10 to 6. Thursday, we're open a little bit longer till 8, so 10 to 8. And Saturday, also 10 to 6. Sunday is 10 to 4, and we're closed on Mondays.
Gotcha. And what about funding? I would imagine it's difficult to find new veins of funding. Are you always looking for grants, donations, and so forth?
Absolutely. So we depend very much right now on our admissions, also for our programs and things like that. But donations, memberships, we have all of that. You can visit our website to be able to find that information. Call us up or come on in.
Yeah, I think that would be the best thing, right? Come in and actually experience the center. I'm looking forward to coming up and seeing it too. I have not had the pleasure of being there yet, but I'm so happy to hear that you've already had more than 6,000 visitors since May. Was that on track with what you projected, or were you just kind of hoping that people would come in?
Well, we got a little bit of both.
if you build it, they will come, right?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, you know, we could look at other numbers of other cultural institutions in Niagara Falls, but being brand new, it's hard to say.
Yeah, and it's so different, too.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And I would imagine, you know, we're talking about something very historic, but a modern necessity, of course, these days is social media. What do you do for the center in that regard?
So for the center, we have our Facebook, our Instagram, and our Twitter accounts. So you can follow us, engage with us on there. We try to share kind of some of the things that we're working on, also historical facts, engaging posts and pictures and things like that. So we invite everybody to follow us and connect with us that way.
That's terrific. Allie, I really appreciate you coming in this morning. Tell us the address again of the Niagara Falls Underground Railroad Center.
The Heritage Center is located at 825 Depot Avenue West in Niagara Falls, New York, on the United States side.
Right. So you don't have to cross the bridge, deal with any of the enhanced license passport issues. But make sure if you're punching it into your GPS, it's 825 Depot Avenue West. You want to make sure you don't go in the wrong direction.
Yep, that's
Allie,
right.
Allie, I wish you continued success. Thanks very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Brenda.
That'll put a wrap on this edition of Slice of Life. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening. Brenda will be back next Slice of Life Sunday at 10:30 on ESPN 1520.